Yemir Hashem will continue with our introduction to Kodshim, and we're up to the left column of page Yud Ches, and we're going to discuss now the issue of what we call Shalobim Koma, where the Zrika Dam was Shalobim Koma. And we said, this is the last thing we discussed yesterday, was it's very possible that in the case of Mizbech HaChitzon as opposed to Mizbech HaPnimi, that kind of confusion, then we would not apply the principle of Lav Kimakomo Dami, to passel the Dam. It's only when it was on the wrong part of the Mizbeach. And there may be an issue if you have Dam that belongs to the Mizbeach HaChitzon that was taken inside the Heichal, that might be a separate psul. Now he discusses, what about the Kevesh? Now, again, this is a very important introduction here because, at least as far as I would be concerned, I would assume the Kevesh does not have a din of a Mizbeach. But yet, it seems that there's Machlokas Rishonim in a case where he did the Zrika of the Dam instead of on the Mizbeach, let's say the Mizbeach HaChitzon, he sprinkled the Dam on the Kevesh itself. And some Rishonim hold that passels the carbon. I would have said, you know, that doesn't passel anything because the Kevesh doesn't have the status of Mizbeach. You know, you could say he spilled the Dam on the floor. That doesn't passel anything. I mean, if he has enough Dam to do the Zriko, or if he can collect the Dam from the Ritzpas HaZora, Gegezutahet. But some Rishonim hold that the Kevesh has the status of a Mizbeach. So that's something that we want to keep in mind as we go through this sugya. And the classic case of Kimkomo or Lav Kimkomo would be Chetzi Lamala or Chetzi Lamata. What about the Gaga Mizbeach? In the case where he put the Dam on the Gaga Mizbeach, then on the one hand, again, there's always good news and bad news. When we say it's not Kimakomo dummy, so that's bad news because it's not Kimakomo dummy and therefore it's not Mechaper, the carbon is possible. But on the other hand, the good news is that it could be that Gag HaMizbeach, if it's so far removed from being Kimakomo dummy, then you can collect the Dam and you can do another Zrika. Let's begin a new topic for today, and that is what we call a psul of lina. And then, Mirtz Hashem, we could talk about a psul of nosar, and then compare the two. He starts with the following principle, and that is that kol dover hakadosh b'kedushas haguf nifsal b'lina. I skipped one word deliberately, and that's the word mizbeach. If you introduce the word Mizbeach, then what we're saying is that anything that has Kedushas HaGuf, and it matters not whether you're talking about Kodshim Kodshim or Kodshim Kalim, there's a psul of Lina if it's designated for the Mizbeach, meaning it's a Karman. Matters not which Karman, but there's a psul of Lina. We're going to talk about the psul of Lina. Now, you may recall about 3 or 4 days ago, we spoke about a psul of Lina with regard to Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the Mea Kiyor. We even said that overnight, the Mea Kiyor has to be submerged in a Mayon that goes underneath the Azoro, or perhaps in the Brech of Shlomo, but whatever it was. Now, the Mayim in the Kiyor is not Mayim L'Mizbeach. That water doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And yet, there's a psul of Lina. So if the Mei Kiyar were left outside of a Mayan overnight, that Mayan becomes Pasul for Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim. So you see that the halacha, the concept of Psulina, applies even outside of Kedushas Mizbeach. Mei Kiyar does not have Kedushas Mizbeach, and yet, nevertheless, it lends itself to the Psul of Lina. And in that context, we have to break new ground and assume there are two categories of Psul Lina. There's Psul Lina LeMizbeach, which means that in Karbonis Kodshim, that have to be brought on the Mizbeach, there's going to be a Psul Lina. You left the Dam overnight instead of doing the Zrika. And then we have another Psul of Lina that doesn't limit itself to Kodshim Mizbeach and applies even beyond Kodshim Mizbeach. So that in Mei Kiyar, where the Kedusha is not Kedushas Mizbeach, the Mayim of the Kiyar is for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, it's not for the Mizbeach, but we need it in order to prepare the Kohanim for the Akrava, for the Avoda. And therefore, we can apply the Psul of Lina in the case of Mei Kiyar, despite the fact that there is no Kedushas Mizbeach in Mei Kiyar. Now, at what point does the Psul of Lina emerge? Is it with the end of the day or with the end of the night? If it's with the end of the day, that's Shkia Sachama. Shkia Sachama sunset ends the day in the Beis HaMikdash. If, on the other hand, it's the end of the night, then we have to wait till daybreak, which is Amud HaShachar. And what we're going to see is that there are two categories of Psul Lina, not the same two categories that we mentioned before, whether it's LeMizbeach or Mei Kiyar, but two categories as to when the Zman of Psul Lina applies. Is it with the end of the day, which is Shkia, or the end of the night with Amud HaShachar? That's what we're going to see as we move forward. Now, Yesh shepsulim baboker v'umi alos hashachar v'yesh mehem shepsulim b'shkia sachama. So in terms of all the list of things that lend themselves to psul lina, there are those who fit into the category of psul lila, which means with amud hashachar, and then there are those that are possible lina by day when the day ends with shkia sachama. He points out here, based on a certain Rashi, and there's a Shagasari about this, that even though the Gemara says in Zvachim, explicitly on Daf Pei Zayin, that Amud HaShachar Osa Lina, nevertheless, there's another category of Lina, of Psul Lina, and that's Shkia Sacham. So, for example, we have a principle called Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. So he shechted the karmon by day, and he didn't do the Zrika until after Shkia Sachama. That dam is subject to the Psul of Lina, and that's going to invalidate the Zrika that was done after Shkia. However, there is a distinction between the Psul Lina of Amud HaShachar and the Psul Lina of Shkia. In the case of the Psul Lina of Amud HaShachar, it's that very moment of Amud HaShachar. We're not going to wait till Hanetzachama, which might be another hour later. But in the case of Shkia, we're going to wait, according to one school of thought, until an hour after Shkia. And the Psul Lina is only going to emerge 1 hour later. Don't ask me why, because in the context of our introduction, I don't have the answers to all the questions. We're just getting a little bit of the background here. We're getting our feet wet, so to speak, in Kodship. So he says that Dovar Shezman Psulo Hu Bishkia Sachama Afshoa Achas Balaila Posloso. And this is based on a Rashi. Rashi says, with regard to the Psul Lina of Kiyar, Rashi's language is on Daf Chaf Aleph in the Sugya of Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim. He says, Kevin Shemitzoa Laila Shah Achas Nifsal Meimav. 1 hour, meaning 1 hour after Shkia. Now again, if 1 hour means, let's say here in Eretz Yisrael, 20 minutes, which is the time between Shkia and Tseis HaKochavim, I can begin to understand that perhaps the new day emerges after Tseis HaKochavim, and the previous day ends with continues beyond Shkias HaChama until Tseis HaKochavim. But the language of Rashi, Shah Achas, I'm not sure what he means by Shah Achas. Does he mean wait till Tseis HaKochavim, until the Psul Lina sets in? But in any event, with regard to Amud HaShachar, in the morning, that's already Rega Echad, one moment of Amud HaShachar already generates a Psul of Lina. So that's another thing that we have to keep in mind. Now, Zrikas Hadam Vishar Avodos Hadam Einon Ksheros Belaila. So what that would mean is that, as we said before, Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama, because the Avodos of Dam cannot be implemented at night. I mean, we have Haktoras Emurim, Evorim, and Pidorim on Al Gav Mizbeach at night. That Haktorah is at night. That's a night Avodah. But in the case of the avodos of the karmon, terminating with zrika, that requires yom and not laila. Hence, when we wait until after Shkiyas HaChama, the day has ended, the dam now is posel, because we're already in laila. Again, you have to add the shahachas according to Rashi. Now, what I'm vacillating back and forth is, what's the nature of this halacha? Are we saying, which was always my impression, that with Shkiyas HaChama, the end of the day, the dam becomes posel? It's a new psul of lina. That's how I always understood it. But if you look at the way he's formulating it, and this is based on a Gemara in Megillah, it's the avoda is excluded at night. There's nothing wrong with the dam per se. The dam is not posel, but it's a din in avoda. The avoda cannot be achieved or implemented during the night. It's a day avoda, biyom tzavoso. Now, when I read this and I came to that conclusion, I said, this can't be. I must be making a mistake. We have a halacha called Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama. The Dam became posel. That's a psul lina. Now, I'm suggesting, based on a meticulous reading of the text, that he means to say that Dam Nifsal, the psul of lina, is a psul in the Maisa Zrika. You know, that the Zrika as an avoda cannot be implemented by night. It has to be implemented by day. It has nothing to do with the psul of Dam. So I said to myself, I must be making a mistake. But now I'm not sure. I'll tell you why. Let me just, for a moment, skip one line, which we'll come back to, that has to do with Rabbeinu Tam. And the next paragraph, he says, Dam Konim Kabbalah. Hachronim Istapku. Im Dam Konim Kabbalah Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama. Which he quotes in the name of Taras Kodesh, Mikdash David, Evan Ozel. I mean, he's got all the Gdoli Achronim over here in this footnote. What is he talking about? Dam Kodim Kabbalah. Whether or not Snifsal Bashkia Sachama. What do you mean Dam Kodim Kabbalah? Who cares about Kabbalah? We care about Zrika. Dam Nifsal Bashkia Sachama. He's talking about a situation where the animal was shechted, the korban was shechted by day, and the Kabbalah Sadam was by night, after Shkia. Again, it's hard to imagine such a thing because how many seconds do you have between Shechita and Kabbalah? I don't know. But if you synchronized it precisely that Shkia Sachava was at 7:01, he did the Shechita at 7, and the Kabbalah Saddam after Shkia at 7:01. So Shkia came before the Kabbalah Saddam because the Shechita took place before Shkia, and now he has Shkia Sachava before Kabbalah. So the Kabbalah Saddam was after Shechita. And he's vacillating if the principle of Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sacham should apply over here. And the only way I can make any bit of sense out of this is if I assume that we view the four Avodos as like one Gush Echad, as one entity. And what we need is to start that process of that entity before Shkia, which he did, because he did the Shechita before Shkia. And in such a case, we're going to consider it as if he did the Zrikas Adam before Shkia. But wait a second, Adam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. Do you hear my problem? Who cares if the Kabbalah Saddam was after Shkia? And he wants to suggest that in such a case, I'm not sure if we apply the principle of the psul shkia, the psul of Lina. And he wants to be machshir the karmon. Why? Because the shkia took place before the Kabbalah. What sense can you make out of that? And the only thing that begins to make sense to me is that since the shkita was before shkia, he's already initiated a process of avodah, which he can continue and complete even after Shkia. What happened to Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama? And this would prove my new idea, that Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama is not in the psul in the Chefetz Shel Dam. The Dam itself doesn't become psul. It undermines the Zrika as an Avoda, because Avoda has to take place by day and not by night. Well, guess what? In this case, where the Shkia took place before the Kabbalah Saddam, the Avoda was done by day. So imagine you have Dam after Shkia, and you can achieve Zrika Saddam and Hechshar Karbon, even though it's after Shkia. Why? Because the Psul is not in the Dam. The Shkia does not generate an absolute psul in the dam, as a Chefetz Shel Dam, but rather it prevents the avoda. The shkia makes it impossible to implement the avoda after shkia. So I don't know. I can't tell you that what I'm saying is correct. Let me go back to the line that we skipped. And this is Rabbeinu Tam. He says the following. There is a division in Shkia Sachama. This is what we call Tchilas HaShkia and Sof Shkia. So the beginning, when the sun begins to dip below the horizon, that's called Tchilas HaShkia. And Gmar Shkia is when the sun is completely invisible. It's entirely, the entirety of the sun, from the top to the bottom, is below the horizon. That's called Gmar Shkia. Now we're saying that there's a psul lino, whatever that means, we gave two interpretations, but that's chal with Shkia Sachama. What point of Shkia Sachama? There could be as much of a difference of 20 minutes between Tchilas HaShkia and Sof Shkia. He says, Zman psul lino hu b'tchilas Shkia Sachama. Now, when I read this, I was very surprised, because in other halachos, Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Shkia means Sof Shkia, after the sun is completely below the horizon. There's no longer direct light from the sun. There may be reflected light, but not direct light. And that's called Gmar Shkia. And Rabbeinu Tam is famous for holding that we have to wait till Gmar Shkia, which is a much later period of time. So, for example, when does Shabbos end, according to Rabbeinu Tam? Not with Tchilas Hashkia, but with Sof Shkia. And the time for perhaps davening Meiriv, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is much later, because that's Sof Shkia. And here he says that Dam Nifsal B'Tchilas Hashkia. If you take a look, for example, in the footnote here, Shinnun Gimel, he writes, Af L'Das Rabbeinu Tam, Shel Ashar Dvarim Shkia, Hainu Sof Shkia, Mikomakom L'Gabi Zrika, Kosav, Tosu says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Adomit Toli B'Tchilas Hashkia. And apparently the Sfasemis is not so happy about it, but that's a different story. So I'm thinking to myself, why is it that Rabbeinu Tam, who defines Yom and Laila by Sof Shkia, it's Yom until Sof Shkia, it becomes the new day, Laila with Sof Shkia, why would he agree that in the case of the Psul Lina and Zrikas Adam, we go back to Tchilas Hashkia? Very odd. And when the Gemara says, Dam Nifso B'Shkia Sachama, it's telling you a Chiddush. And the Chiddush is not that you wait for Laila, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, Laila is much later, but there's a separate Psul, and that is generated by Tchilas Hashkia. That's this new category, this new formulation called Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama.
Rob Berzon?
Yes.
Yeah, quick question, if this is a good time, is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
I believe the Rav told us at one point that day and night is different in the Beit HaMikdash.
Excellent.
And I'm wondering if that's applicable in this instance, in this case.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ben, because you took the words out of my mouth. This is what I've been thinking, you know, since last night when I saw this. And I'm kind of losing sleep over this. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik said that there are two definitions of Yom and Laila. Now, there are certain halachos where what you need is Laila. Laila is defined at a later period as Gemar Shkia, Tzeis HaKochavim. That's called Laila. And the day is initiated by Laila. There are other halachos where we don't need Laila, we just need Sof HaYom. When does the day terminate? And the period of time between Tchilas Hashkia and Sof Shkia really belongs to two different categories. On the one hand, it belongs to a category which is Yom. On the other hand, it belongs to the new day. And in Halacha, we're going to see how these two definitions of Yom and Laila operate and when they apply. The Rav has Psukim, La Choshech Kara Laila, that Laila requires Choshech. But yet on the other hand, Shnei HaMa'oros, which means that the Ma'ora Gadol Mishal Sayom, Ma'ora Katan Mishal Salaila, that the day and night depends upon the sun. And you could have a situation where the sun is still very powerful and it's very active, and it's called Ma'ora Gadol Mishal Sayom, and yet it's not Laila, because La Choshech Kara Laila, and it's not Yet Choshech. Plenty of light. And in certain contexts, we're going to say that Yom and Laila, this day and that day, depends upon Or and Choshech. And in other cases, it's going to depend upon the sun and the absence of the sun. And then Afkamina is going to be these periods of time, which we call, from Shkia to Tzeis, or from Tchila Shkia to Sof Shkia. That's going to be a nafka mina. The chiddush is that in Beis HaMikdash, I need Yom. And once there's Tchilas Hashkia, we're going to define it not as Laila, because Laila, says Rabbeinu Tam, requires Choshech or Sof Shkia, but it's the termination of the day. So again, that's just a germ of an idea, and it has to be obviously fleshed out more be'iyun, but just at this level, that's what we have. Okay then, so let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're going to talk about matonos she'enon ma'akvos es hakapor. That's going to be But we netter our discussion tomorrow. On Daf Samach Omer Aleph, we discussed the Suffolk of Rav Pop vacillating back and forth as to whether or not we can reconcile our Mishnah here with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion of Tfos Lashon Rishon. And if our Mishnah, says Rav Papa, is addressing the case of Shelo Lishma and Lishma in one Avodah, then we have no way of reconciling our Mishnah with Rabbi Meir, because within one Avodah, Rabbi Meir is going to apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon. So if he started with the Machsheves Lishma, even though he concluded that Avodah with the Machsheves Shelo Lishma, the Karm would be kosher. And yet our Mishnah says it's possible, even in the case of Lishma first, and Shalol Lishma second. We could, on the other hand, says Rav Papa, reconcile our Mishnah even with Rabbi Meir, if we assume that we're talking about Shtei Avodos. The Gemara that we studied yesterday had a proof from our Mishnah that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Avoda Achas. And that would mean that we could be poshet the suffix of a papa and reconcile our Mishnah with, that we can be poshet the suffix of a papa and we would have to exclude Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir in one avoda would say, Tfos Lashon Rishon, hence, Lishma and Shelo Lishma would be kosher. What was the proof? Now here, the Gemara quotes not our Mishnah on Samach, but rather the Mishnah on Samach Aleph, which is the Sefer of our Mishnah, and that's the case of Li'ochlov and Shalol Li'ochlov. And the Mishnah establishes that if the Kohen had in mind that he was makrivit for the sake of those who could eat a kezias of the Korban Pesach, and then he changed his mind, and he had a machshava that it could be eaten by Shalol Li'ochlov, for example, a chole or a zaken, then in such a case, the carbon is kosher. And the Gemara wants to prove that that Mishnah is talking about Avoda Achas, or shall we say, even a case of Avoda Achas. Why? So let's just again quickly review the Gemara Hechi Dabi. It's about five lines up from the end of Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Hechi Dami, what's the case? The Gemara is going to try to disprove the possibility of Shtei Avodos. Why? E Nema B'Shtei Avodos. If we're going to tell us that the Mishnah has in mind a case of two Machshavos on two Avodos, then we have the following problem. In the first Avodah, he had a kavana for L'shem Ochlov. And at the time, for example, of Shechita, he had kavana that the other avoda, let's say the Zrika Saddam, for example, would be Shalol Li'ochlov, for a Zaken or a Chola. And the Mishnah is establishing a new chiddush here, that the carbon is kosher, even though he had in mind that the Zrika would be Shalol Li'ochlov. And the Gemara says, Taima dechoshev bizrika, di'ein machsheves ochlen bizrika. Now we have a principle here which we're going to have to learn over and over again for the balance of this perek Tamid Nishchad, and that is, ein machsheves ochlen bizrika. The Zrika has to do with the Kaparas HaKarbon, and that's its purpose, its raison d'etre. It has nothing to do with Achila, meaning the Achila of the Menuyim, the Bnei HaChabura, who are commanded to eat the Karbon. So therefore, if he had a Machshava that the Zrika would be Shalol Li'ochlov, that Machshava doesn't register, it's not a Machshava Poseles, because Ein Machsheves Ochlin Bizrika. Reading this Mishnah, We would therefore be medayik, we would meticulously come to the implicit inference, the conclusion, that biavoda achas, there would be a machsheves ochlin to pasel the carbon. In Zrika, there is no machsheva shaloli ochlov as a machsheva poselis, but had it been, for example, in Shechita, where the Shechita is like Shechita's chulin for the purpose of allowing achilas ha-karbon, achilas ha-basar, then if he began his Shechita with a machsheves ochlin, and he would complete his Shechita with a machsheva of shaloli ochlov, then, by implication, the karma would be possible. Why? Because we had a principle of ein machsheves ochlin bezrika, but now he has a machsheves ochlin b'shchita, which means during the shchita he had in mind initially l'shem ochla, but then he changed his mind in l'shem chola v'zakim, and that karma would be possible. Nay, there's another principle that we have. In addition to the first principle of ein machsheves ochlin bezrika, we have another principle which is called miktsas ochlin lo pasla. Which means, if let's say you had a chabura that was comprised of two categories of people, one is, you know, young people, the other is very old people, one is healthy people, the other is unhealthy people, so you have li ochlov and shaloli ochlov, is ein miktsas ochlin poselis. So that although included in his machshava is the chola and the zaken, because he had a machshava for all the menuyim, for all those who are in the group, the shechita is nevertheless considered a shechita kshera. And why is that so? Because it's not that we're splitting the shechita into two parts, and we're saying, well, the first half of the shechita was for ochlin, and the second half of the shechita was shaloli ochlin for the chola and zaken. We can't possibly do that, because the li'ochlov would only make sense if you have the entire shechita. Let's say, for example, there are two simonim, the kon and the veshet. He's got to shech both simonim li'ochlov, otherwise it's not a kavana li'ochlov. As we said, shechitas kodshim, like shechitas chulin, requires both simonim. You have to shech both simonim. So once he now had a shechita both simonim for li'ochlov, then ipso facto, the carbon is kosher. And that's called miktsas ochlin lo pasla. So that even though you would say, well, if he has shechita, he had in mind the kavana shechita for the entire group of the menuyim, which includes also the cholim and the zkenim in there, and that should pasal the karbon with the psul of machsheva shaloli ochlov, that's not going to pasal the karbon, because within that machsheva he has in mind that the entire shechita is l'shem ochlov. So if that be the case, then it's impossible to interpret that our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah Daf Samach Aleph, is exclusively addressing the case of Shtei Avodos, which means that in Avodah Achas the Karma will be possible. Nay, that's impossible, because even in Avodah Achas the Karma will be possible because of the principle of Miktsas Ochlan Lo Posla. Says the Gemara, and now we're up to the top of Samach Amud Beis, Elo Lav, by proximal relation, Bavodachas. We're going to have to interpret this Mishnah as referring not just to Shtei Avodos, and you could be Machsheh the Karbon based on the principle of Ein Machsheves Ochlin Bezrika, but even in the case of one Avodah, and we could be Machsheh the Karbon based on the other principle of Miktsas Ochlin Lo Posla. And therefore the Gemara says, be the sefer b'avoda achas, reisha nami b'avoda achas. If we want to maintain the symmetry of the Mishnah, then since the Mishnah in its sefer is addressing not only a case of shtei avodas, but also a case of avoda achas, as we prove from the case of Lioklov and Shaloli Oklov, then the reisha itself is also a case of Avoda Achas, which means that the Mishnah, again back on Daf Samach, passels the Korban Pesach when he had a machshav of Lishma and Shalol Lishma. And in the case of Lishma and Shalol Lishma, we're talking about Avoda Achas, which means that we're not accepting the principle of Rabbi Meir, which is Tfos Lashon Rishon, because if we did, the carbon would be kosher because his original machshava was Lishma. Since the Mishnah apostles, this carbon, even in Lishma and Shalom Lishma, must be that this Mishnah, in the case of Avodah Achas, is coming lafuke to the exclusion of Rabbi Meir, who holds Tfos Lashon Rishon. And that again has implications as far as Tmura and many other halachas as well. The Gemara rejects this. It says, Midei Iria. There's no proof, just because you've established that the Seifa is referring to a case of Avodah Achas, Hakirisa. Seifa b'Avodah Achas, Reisha, O b'Avodah Achas, O b'Shtei Avodos. Meaning we still have room for Rav Papa's vacillation as far as that Mishnah of Lishma and Shalom Lishma, whether or not it could be reconciled with Rabbi Meir because we're talking about a case of Shtei Avodos, or are we talking about a case of Avodah Achas? The fact that the Seifa is referring to Avodah Achas doesn't necessarily prove that the Reish is referring to a case of Avodah Achas. And therefore we're left with an open-ended question of Rav Papa. Should we say that the Reish is also talking about Avodah Achas and then it cannot be reconciled with Rabbi Meir, holds Tfos Lashon Rishon, or can we interpret the Reish as referring exclusively to Shtei Avodos, and therefore we can reconcile the Mishnah with Rabbi Meir? And now, Rabosa, we start a new sugya, Iboilehu, a suffix. Now, again, when I call it a new sugya, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. It's definitely related to everything that we've been discussing, but it's really a new sugya. And it's very profound, very challenging, and I'm going to hope that we can together work out this sugya. Iboilehu. Now, the introduction that we need here, till now we've been talking about Shtei Machshavas HaSosro Zu Azu, and we continue with Shtei Machshavas HaSosro Zu Azu, but here we're going to discuss what's called Pesach Shelo Bizmano. So if you happen to have a pad, because I don't have right now a whiteboard to write on, but write down those words. Pesach Shelo Bizmano. Now, exactly what that means, Pesach Shelo Bizmano, is very complicated, but we're going to take the simplest case first. And that means that it's not the 14th of Nisan, it's the 13th of Nisan. And he already has separated, he has already designated a lamb for the Korban Pesach, and therefore it has Kedushas Korban Pesach, but it's too early to do the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. It's only the 13th of Nisan. In fact, we have to wait till what's called the 14th of Nisan Bein Harbayin, even after the Tavit Shel Bein Harbayin, as we discussed. What happens if he goes ahead and instead of waiting patiently till the 14th Bein Harbayim, he shechted the animal, which is a Korban Pesach, on the 13th of Nisan? Well, for that matter, he shechted it today, anytime during the course of the year. That's called Kodem Zmano. Now, in Pesach, Kodem Zmano, Shechto, B'Shar Yemos HaShana, then we could have two possible scenarios. One is what I call stoma, and again, that's a word you should write down, stoma. Stoma means the Kohen had nothing in mind. He was a jughead, you know. And then we have to determine what stoma is. Meaning, what kind of machshava is stoma? Then we have another case where he shechts it on the 13th and he has a machshava of lishma. And here's where it gets tricky, because a machshava lishma in Pesach B'Shar Yemos HaShana is a machshava poselis. And the reason is obvious, because you cannot bring the Korban Pesach during Shari Yemos HaShana. And if he had a machshava l'shem Pesach, that's going to passel the carbon. However, there is another machshava which could be machshir the carbon, albeit not as a carbon Pesach, as a l'shem shlomim. And we have halacha that Moser Pesach is a shlomim, that even though he designated this karbon for the Pesach, but nevertheless during Shayimos Hashana, it can be brought as a karbon shlomim. And now he had during Shayimos Hashana a machshava shalolishma. And guess what? He won the prize. He was machshir the karbon. That's paradoxical. And that's unique to the case of Pesach Kodem Zman. Dafka, because he had in mind Shalolishma, he had in mind L'shem Shlomim, and the carbon is kosher, albeit as a carbon Shlomim. He's out of the box as far as the Chabura that's going to bring the carbon Pesach. He's got to get himself back into that box, and he's going to have to designate another lamb for the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. But that's tomorrow's business. As far as today's business is concerned, on Erev Pesach, he's got himself a Korban Shalom. Iboilehu. Pesach Sheshchato B'Shar Yemos Hashana. Those, it wasn't the 14th of Nisan. And his machshava was Lishmo V'Shalo Lishmo. Now, we know from our Mishnah that if you combine these two machshavas hasosros of lishmo and shalolishmo, it passels the karma. Whether it's a case of shtei avodos according to everyone, or it's a case of avoda achas according to Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir, whatever it is, lishmo and shalolishmo is a posel. But what about Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashana? Because Pesach B'Shar Yemos Hashana, as we said, can be brought as a Karban Shlomim. And when he had in mind Lishma, then that Machshava doesn't passel the Karban, because what do you mean L'Shem Pesach? What's L'Shem Pesach on the 13th of Nisan, on Tu B'Shvat? On Chanukah. Then he had a machshava of shalolishma, which means l'shem shlomim. And the Gemara thinks that that could be machsha the carbon as a carbon shlomim. If he would have shechted it lishmo as a carbon Pesach, then it would certainly be possible. But here, in addition to his machshava of lishmo, which is a machshava poselas, he had a machshava of shalolishma, meaning l'shem shlomim. And that's machshava machshira. And now the Gemara analyzes the tzadei asofik. Mi asi shalo lishmo mapik lemi de lishmo. Can we establish that the shalo lishmo, which, as we said until now in our Mishnah, is a very powerful machshava, it passels the Karban Pesach. Here, it's also a powerful machshava of shalo lishmo, but fakert, on the opposite, on the contrary, it's going to be machshir the karbon, because it's l'shem shlomim. And it'll be oker, it'll completely undermine and neutralize the original first machshava that he had, l'shem Pesach. Umapik midei l'shmo, which normally is bad for the Jews, but here it's good for the Jews, because l'shmo is going to be a machshava poselis. And therefore, machshir le, Or perhaps, lo, the second machshava is not going to help me anymore. It's not going to be mapik midei machshava rishona. And if lo mapik midei machshava rishona, the original machshava rishona, which was lishma, is machshava poselas. And the carbon is posel. Because Pesach shalo bizmano, shenishkato lishma, is posel. And that's exactly what he did with his first machshava. The Gemara wants to insist that here in this case, there's a svara to say that the machshava of shalolishma is going to be mapikle, it's going to be mafkia, it's going to undermine and neutralize the original machshava of lishma. And apparently what the Gemara thinks is, in one side of the Safek, is that this original Machshava, again of Lishmol L'Shem Pesach, which is a Machshava Poselis in Shari Yimos HaShana, is a very weak kind of Machshava. Because in Kol HaTorah Kula, as far as all other Kodshim are concerned, a Machshava Slishma is a Machshava Machshira. In this case of Pesach Shalom, B'Yudalit, meaning B'Shai Yimos HaShana, paradoxically, the Machshava Lishma, which is usually a good thing, now becomes Machshava Poselis, but it's a weak kind of Machshava Poselis because it breaks all the rules and regulations that apply to other Kodshim, other Karmanos. And now, maybe we could say the Shalom Lishma, which means he has in mind now, for Shlomim, which is exactly what the Lamb is meant to be, during Shai Yimos HaShana, if only he had made a decision clearly, without any vacillation, that he wants it to be a Shlom, it would be a Shlomim. And he ends now with the Machshava of Shalom Lishma, meaning L'Shem Shlomim. That's exactly what the Karban is designated for at this particular point. Ah, he started with the Machshava Lishma for the purpose of Karban Pesach. Forget about that Machshava. Throw it out. And he also Rav Dibi, where Rav Dibi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he declared that Amrisa Lishmaita Kavid Rav Yirmiya, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, he's now in Bavel, but when he tells us about what happened when he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he reflected on this suffix in front of the great Rabbi Yirmiya in Eretz Yisrael. And just one second, I'm just trying to figure out who's talking to whom now. Hoil, just one second. So it's Rav Dimi telling us about his discussion with Rav Yirmiya. And oh, fine. So, now I got it straight. What we're about to learn is the way Rav Dimi presented it to Rav Yirmiya back in Eretz Yisrael to make a determination about this question of Lishma and Shalom Lishma in Pesach V'Shai Yimos HaShana. And Rav Yirmiya rejected it. You know, Ula is being very honest about this. Rav Dimi is being honest about it. He's telling you exactly what he thought was the right answer to this original question, and he's going to share with us why and how Rav Yirmiya rejected. So what was the logic? What was Rav Dimi thinking? Hoil v'lishma machshiro bizmano. Lishma is a very good and proper kavana machshava for a Karban Pesach bizmano. Shalolishmo, but paradoxically, a shalolishmo kavana, meaning l'shem Pesach, I'm sorry, l'shem Shlomim, machshiro, that is going to validate the korban. Shalomizmano, right, so again, hoil v'lishmo machshiro bizmano, v'shalom lishmo machshiro shalom bizmano. So on Yudalid, what kind of machshava would be machshir the korban? That's lishmo, l'shem Pesach. The rest of the year, which is called shalom bizmano, is then shalom lishmo is machshiro, meaning l'shem Shlomim. So we have now an equation here between, or shall we call it a contrast between Bizmano and Shalom Bizmano. That Bizmano is the Machshav of Lishma, is the Machshav of Machshira, and Shalom Bizmano, the Machshav of Shalom Lishma, is Machshira. What do we gain from this equation? Says Rav Dimi, this is his kind of binyan av drasha. Ma lishmo hamachshiro bizmano ein motzio midei shelo lishmo af shelo lishmo hamachshiro shelo bizmano ein motzio midei lishmo uposul. Right? In the case of bizmano, if he has a machshava shelo lishma, then even though he had a machshava lishma, that's not going to be machshir the carbon. It cannot undermine the machshava shelo lishma. So too, in the case of shelo bizmano, we should apply the same yardstick. And therefore, even though shelo lishmo is like lishmo, and it's a machshir, but nevertheless, he had a machshava of lishmo, and the machshava shelo lishmo is not capable of undermining the machshava of lishmo, which is here a machshava poselis. So that's the intuitive answer that we would have given to this question. The Amar Li, but Rabbi Yirmiyah rejected it. Why? And with this rejection of Rabbi Yirmiyah, we begin to see, get a glimpse of what the Gemara was vacillating about before. Because Lechora, Rav Divi is telling, you know, he's calling a spade a spade. You know, you can't have a machshava hamachshira that removes a machshava poselis. I mean, that's the story in Pesach Bizmano. That should be the same story in Pesach Shelo Bizmano, except in the opposite direction. In Pesach Bizmano, the machshavas lishma l'shem Pesach cannot undermine and neutralize the machshavas shelo lishma, which is l'shem shlomim. And in the rest of the year, you know, Shelo Bizmano, we cannot have a power to the shelo lishma, meaning l'shem shlomim, to undermine the and neutralize the machshavah he had lishma l'shem Pesach. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, lo ima marta bishalo lishmo shekein noeg b'chol hazvachim tomar bilishmo shein noeg b'chol hazvachim el b'karm pesach bilvad. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, there's a clear-cut distinction here. When you say that in a Pesach Bizmano, the machshavas lishma cannot undermine and neutralize the machshava shelo lishma, that's because the machshava of shelo lishma is a posel in kol kodshim. All kodshim shelo lishma is a posel. And therefore it's a very strong posel, such that a machshavas lishma cannot undermine and neutralize the machshava of shelo lishma. In Pesach, we have a very odd situation. And that is that the psul in the case of shelo bizmano is a psul of machsheves lishma. Machsheves lishma, right? And the opposite. The machshava machshira is the machshava of shelo lishma. So therefore, if he had a machshava of lishma in the shechita of a korban pesach shelo bizmano b'shayimos hashana, that machshava of lishma is a very weak machshava from the perspective of a machshava poselas. Because from the yardstick, from the perspective of kol zvachim, the machshava lishma is a machshava machshira. Now, paradoxically, if it's shayimos hashana, the machshava lishma l'shem pesach becomes machshava poselas. But that's eino noeg. This is the oddity of Pesach, and it's unique to Pesach, that Pesach during Shayimos Hashana, Dafka a Lishma Machshava is a Machshava Haposeles. That's already a very weak kind of Machshava Haposeles. Haraya, the opposite is true in all other Zvachim. A Machshava of Lishma is a Machshava Machshira. And therefore, the machshava of shelo lishma, l'shem shlomim, in a Pesach Shelo Bizmano is powerful enough to undermine the psul of a machshava lishma. A machshava lishma cannot undermine a psul of shelo lishma in the case of Pesach Bizmano, because shelo lishma is a psul in all zvachim. But for a machshava shelo lishma to undermine a machshava poselis of lishma, which is a unique psul that only applies in one case, in Pesach Shelo Bizmano, that the machshava of shelo lishma has the power to neutralize the machshavas lishma of l'shem Pesach. Just want to add one note as we come to the conclusion of the shiur. You'll notice that the suffix in the Gemara was formulated in a case where he started with a shechita of lishma, and then he had shelo lishma. Not in the opposite scenario, where he started his shechita with shelo lishma. And the reason for that is because the Gemara wants to present a suffix, even according to the shechita of Rabbi Meir, where Adam nitfas betchilas dvara. According to his shita, that if he shechted shelo lishma and then lishma, then the Karban Pesach was already huchshar, without a shadow of a doubt, with that original initial machshav of shelo lishma, machshav to rishona, and Rabbi Meir would say tfos lashon rishon. His second machshav, his later sequential machshava, that he thought lishma would not be able to passel the karban, because the karban is already established as a karban kosher based on his original machshava of shelo lishma and tfos lashon rishon. However, if he started with a machshava to shechtet lishma, and then he had a machshava of shechita shelo lishma, the Gemara vacillates. Should we say that kevan shemachshav to rishonei machshava lifsol? So he started with a machshava of lishma, which is a machshava lifsol, but it's einan oheges b'chol hazvachim. It's a very unique kind of machshava, which is lishma, and paradoxically it passes the karban. Machshava kazu einan chashuva daya. It's not really a powerful machshava. V'nekeres, and it could be undermined according to one side of the Gemara Sufik, al yidei machshava shnia. And that would apply even if you hold like Rabbi Meir, that tfos lashon rishon, because this lashon rishon is what we call a machshava, because it's eino no heges, it's a machshava klusha, let's call it a weak machshava, it's eino chashuva, and therefore it lends itself to be nekeres with the second machshava, even according to Rabbi Meir. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss my Havialah. What is the final decision, lahalacha? And the Gemara is going to say in the name of Rava, I'm just giving you a little preview here, that if you shechted the Karban Pesach b'shayimos hashana lishma and shelo lishma, it's kosher. And Rava seems to be accepting the final conclusion of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Lekula, to be Machshav the Karban, when he started with a Machshavas Lishmo, which again passels the Karban, but here it won't passel the Karban. But what's going to be challenging for us tomorrow, Bli Neder, is that Rava bases his conclusion on what's called Stamo Kalishmakoi, which basically means that whenever you have nothing in your mind, if the Kohen has, like we called it, an empty head when he shechts the Karban, then it's considered Lishma. The Karban is omed to be shechted Lishma. Meaning, even in the absence of any Machshava, we would assume that it is Stama Lishma. Now, in the case of Karban Pesach, Stama Lishma is a problem, because we're talking about Shayimos HaShana, and if we assume that the Shechita is determined by the carbon itself. The carbon here has been designated as a carbon Pesach. Then when he shechts mistama, then that's considered like lishma, l'shem Pesach. And that's going to undermine the validity of the carbon. So Bli Neder tomorrow, we'll pick up my Havi Allah and we'll take it from there.